Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
With VerboCare, help is always ready, before, during, and after your stay. We've planned for the plot twists, so support is always available. Because a great trip starts with peace of mind.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest Manchester United news. Hope you're doing well this morning. Thursday's the start of the weekend here. We've got the live preview tonight. We've got a press conference at lunchtime because they've moved it. And obviously, this is your morning show on the United Stand. Make sure you smash a like, get involved, and get in the comments, because we're talking more fake news. We're talking more spin this morning, whether it's around Michael Carrick being the next manager, whether it's a ridiculous post from Manchester United's Twitter account, like bigging up longevity of players that maybe shouldn't be here anymore. We'll talk about that in a moment as well. Also got a bit coming in from Barcelona around transfers for the summer. But we're going to start off with Fabrizio. Now, look, Fabrizio Romano, David Ornstein, they're good journalists when it comes to transfers, and you can only put what you're told. But this story that I read last night, I thought, you know what? Some people are going to talk about it and they're going to go, oh, Ruben Amorim should pay for his crimes. So basically, this is what Fabrizio said. If Ruben Amorim hadn't been sacked, Maynou would likely not be a Man United player right now. He was set to leave on loan to Napoli. Talks with the player were already very advanced. I call bullshit. And I think, you know what? I don't know whether you feel like this, but I get this a lot with United. Like, players, manager, I know the role. You're there to win. You're there to perform. If you do, you get praised. If you don't, you get criticised. But the structure of the board and the way the clubs run and the vision comes from the Glazers, Sir Jim Radcliffe, Ineos, Berarda. And I think, is this all you've got? Do you sit there in the boardroom thinking, what can we feed out there to spin to make ourselves look good? Why don't you actually just do something? I mean, is this all you've got? Is this the plan? Take things and spin it to make you look good in hindsight. Because I tell you what, we can all play the game of the stupid mistakes you've been making for 2 years, 20 years. And this Maynou story, I wake up this morning and all I can hear is, oh, thank God we got rid of Maynou. Thank God we got rid of Amorim. Oh, this was the problem. People even go, Wilcox got it right with Amorim. Absolutely spot on. And I think, hold on a minute. Like, Beth doesn't rate Amorim. That's fine. Terry, I don't think, rated Amorim. That's fine. I would have only given Amorim till the end of the season. I wasn't happy with some of the things Amorim did. But we've also got to call out the bullshit when it's quite clearly spin. It's quite clearly nonsense. This is quite clearly... Maynou's playing well in a 4-3-3, by the way. Let's try and justify a shit season and pin it all on a manager that we actually appointed. Because when you break it down, right, this is nonsense, right? Ruben Amorim, Kobbie Maynou and Fabrizio Romano. And for some reason, my mind is struggling with all three trying to differentiate. So bear with me. Fabrizio Romano is saying that it's likely that Kobbie Maynou would not be a Man United player now if Ruben Amorim was still in charge. Well, it's nonsense. I'm sorry, it's nonsense. I mean, are we just going to ignore the truth here? For Maynou to have left Man United in January, we would have had to buy a replacement, which the club have said they weren't going to do. So, I mean, they couldn't lie straight in bed. So, Maynou would not have been a Man United player if Amorim had stayed. But Man United have said they never planned to sign a midfielder in the summer. So, you're in January. So, this is what I mean. And look, someone in the chat says, you talk nonsense. Well, I don't talk nonsense, mate. And you're more than willing to get in the chat and tell us why I'm talking nonsense here. Because I just deal in facts. Some people don't like the facts. Some people are player FC. Some people actually are Glazerites. But Amrim is gone. This is not about defending Amrim. This is about calling out spin that is still continuing after Amrim's gone as the club try to push everything onto Amrim and alleviate themselves of the blame when it is their fault. I don't know what Fabrizio's talking about. I don't know who's told him this nonsense. I'm sure Maynou was talking to Napoli. Like, Tonali appears to have been talking to Arsenal behind Newcastle's back, but Newcastle weren't selling him in January. And whether Maynou was wearing a bloody T-shirt saying free Maynou, wasn't he? So, no, Maynou's brother. So, see, I'm flustered this morning. But my point is, I call bullshit. I do not believe for 1 minute that Maynou wouldn't be a Man United player now if Amrim was still here. Because that would have meant letting a midfielder go and going down to Casemiro, Bruno and Ugarte. No manager's going to do that. They're not going to do that. So this whole, oh, it's a good job we got rid of Amrim because Maynou wouldn't be here. Hold on a minute. You're in charge of the club. You wouldn't sign anybody in January. It's one of the reasons Amrim left. And now you're trying to say, well, if we'd kept Amrim, Maynou wouldn't be here. Mate, you're the people who signed the deal off. You wouldn't have signed it off. There's no way Ugarte or Maynou were going to leave in January unless a replacement came in. And now we're suddenly being told, well, if they hadn't sacked Amrim, Maynou wouldn't be here anymore. Oh, what was Maynou going to rip up his contract and leave, was he? Come on. Is this all they've got? Is this literally the plan of Manchester United to just spin and turn stories to make themselves look good? How's about going out there and actually doing something? How's about going out there and actually getting a midfielder in January? Because you can't say Maynou was going to leave in January and then say you weren't going to sign anybody. It's complete nonsense. Complete nonsense. You know what? I did a little bit of research as well. Against Wolves in December, Maynou came on off the bench and Ugarte was unused. Against Bournemouth, 4-4, Maynou came on with half an hour to go. We were losing 3-2 and we got in front to 4-3. He then got injured and was injured until Amrim got sacked. So in the last game, Amrim could have used Maynou. He brought him on for half an hour. Apparently he was going to start him against Villa, but then Maynou got injured and was out. So He actually used him against Bournemouth. I think it was Bournemouth the T-shirt game. It might have been. I don't know. He used him against Bournemouth for half an hour and we were losing 3-2. And then he got injured until Amrim got sacked. So I don't think he was going anywhere. In fact, if he'd stayed fit, he would have been playing next to Casemiro when Bruno got injured for 2 weeks. So look, I just think it, I don't want to drag up old stories. But that's exactly what the club seem to want to do. It's just this constant, is that all you've got? And everything they try and put out there is riddled with contradiction. You can't say Maynou was going to get sold if Amrim stayed and then say, well, we sacked him because he wanted transfers. You can't do that. You just can't. Anyway, look, I wanted to just cover that because there's a lot of people talking about it this morning, so-called content creators, so-called journalists. And, you know, if you're going to talk about something, I think you really should do your research and you really should look at the other side of this. And we've literally 3 days ago and for the last 2 days been told that United never planned to buy anybody in the January transfer window. And now we're being told Maynou would have left if they'd kept Amrim. Yeah, because we were really going to sanction that. We weren't. We wouldn't have gone for anybody, would we? We really wouldn't. And also, just the main point here isn't Maynou. I think it's great. Maynou's playing. I've always wanted him to play. I want him to sign a new contract. I want him to be a big part of our future. And I agree, he probably should have got more game time under Amrim. But I think he genuinely was going to get game time and he got injured. It's a shame. But the point is, he probably doesn't suit the 4-3-3. He suits the 4-3-3 more than he suits the 3-4-3, as do some of our players. But the club never should have appointed a 3-4-3 manager and not backed him. It was stupid. But everything seems to come back to, and I'd love to know your thoughts on this. Do you just find yourself sometimes thinking about this club that we love and going, what's the plan? Like, what is your plan? Because the only plan seems to be papering the cracks, distracting fans, telling lies, being caught out. There doesn't... I would have thought when Ineos came in and said to the Glazers, we'll take 27%, we'll give you 2 billion, we're going to run the football side of things. I would have thought they had a better plan than this. I really would, because I was thinking about Michael Carrick, actually. What do you think about this, right? I like Michael Carrick. I like the fact that we've won 3 games in a row. I think we'll win the next 3 as well. I think there's a big chance that they may give him the job in the summer if that happens. And, you know, it's very entertaining watching United at the moment. I think it's very dangerous to give him the job because we don't know what the vision is. And I think being an interim manager is very different to being a full-time manager. However, taking it away from that, are you telling me when Ineos got hold of Man United, after 2 years, their plan was to stumble upon an ex-player who'd managed Middlesbrough and a bunch of out-of-work coaches, and that was the plan? You know what I mean? I sort of think, well, I've got no problem if Michael Carrick gets the job because he wins a load of games, but it still puts a focus onto the ownership and says, so you basically bought 25% of the club with a vision to rebuild the club, and 2 years in, you're stumbling on an ex-player with very little experience and a bunch of unemployed coaches, and that's the plan. You know what I mean? Like, I've got nothing against Carrick. Maybe Carrick could be the next Sir Alex Ferguson, but my point is, if I buy a business, I have a plan. 2 years in, I don't just see somebody who's out of work on the streets and say, do you want the job? Oh, you're actually good. Like, this is what I mean. Everything just seems to be stumbling along. Oh, we're going to give Amrim 3 years. 3 months later, he's sacked. Dan Ashworth's the best director of football in the world. No, he's not. He's sacked. We're keeping Eric Ten Hag. We're giving him £300 million. No, we're not. He's sacked. It's like, this has got nothing to do with Carrick getting the job. What I'm talking about here is similar to the Maynou story coming out. There's no structure. There's no vision. There's no plan. It's like stumbling along. And if Michael Carrick gets the Man United job and becomes the next Sir Alex Ferguson, I'll still say this in 20 years' time, no credit goes to Jason Wilcox, Sir Jim Radcliffe, Omar Berada, because you cannot take credit for stumbling over your own shit into a bloody gold mine. Like, you can't. If Michael Carrick was the plan, why was he not the plan 18 months ago? If Michael Carrick was the plan, why didn't you give him the job after Eric Ten Hag? You've stumbled on this. And that's scary. That's scary that we have an ownership that just hasn't got a bloody clue, hasn't got a plan, and might stumble into something that works, but they should be strategically walking into that position, if you know what I mean. So I do just despair. Like, they're clueless. They're absolutely clueless. And I hope Michael Carrick succeeds. And if he gets the job, I hope he succeeds. And I do like Michael Carrick, but this wasn't the plan from Ineos. This wasn't what they were talking about 2 years ago. This wasn't what they were talking 3 months ago. This was not the plan. So I suppose in a way that suggests that really they shouldn't be recruiting Michael Carrick. They should have a better plan than that. But I genuinely don't think they do. I don't think they do. I don't think they know what they're doing. I think they're stumbling along, making it up as they go. And I think they probably will give it to Michael Carrick, to be honest with you. They probably will. But no, I just wanted to get those two things off my head because I think it's like, I do think there's a lot of opinion out there. I do think there's a lot of debate and a lot of good debate. I think there's a lot of good conversation. But I do find myself, and I'm sure you do as well, constantly thinking, is this the plan? And look, we've been down this road so many times. We've seen this movie so many times before. You wake up, you see the Maynou story and you go, that's just from the club. That's from the club. Hey, maybe put this out there. If we hadn't sacked Amrim, Maynou would be gone. No, he wouldn't. Well, he would. Amrim didn't like him, but he wouldn't, would he? Because the last game Matt Amrim could use him, he used him for half an hour and the game, he changed the game. And then he probably would have started him, but he got injured for a month. And then you sacked him. And also, you said you weren't signing any midfielders in January, so you wouldn't have sold him anyway. It's bullshit. I'm sure Maynou was talking to Napoli, but we would have said no. So why are you putting it out there now after a transfer window where you were shit? Oh, could it be distraction? Could it be popularist bullshit to make yourself look good? Oh, that's not like Man United, is it? It's not like Man United to put out distracting positive stories to make other people look like idiots and themselves look good. You have to scrutinise it. Some people don't, but I think you do. I understand your point, but I think there's a reasonable level of hypothetical talk on that Maynard comment, but I get your point. I don't think there is, Kiel. I genuinely don't think there is. I think if you think Maynard wouldn't be a Man United player today under Amorim, you're having a laugh. Why would you go down to three midfielders? I'm sure Maynard would have pushed for a move, but if he'd stayed fit, he would have been playing anyway. And we weren't going to buy anybody. So you can't hypothetically say, well, I think Fabrizio's right. I think Man United are right. I don't. We've just had a football club come out and say they didn't want to buy anybody in January. So you wouldn't let a midfielder go. Look at Xerxes. Xerxes is the prime example. Xerxes is not going to get any game time between now and the summer, and he didn't get hardly any up until January. Did we let Xerxes go? No, because we didn't want to get a replacement in. And the same thing would have happened. And Maynard could have worn some T-shirts. He could have, you know, he could have moaned as much as he liked, or he could have got on with it. But we weren't going to let him go because we weren't interested in bringing a replacement in. And you're under contract. And look at Xerxes. He ain't going anywhere. He ain't gone anywhere, has he? Morning, Mark. Hope you're well. We have yet to see evidence of a plan on anything. We don't seem to have any plan or strategy on anything, says Mike. I just think Man United spend... I used to work with somebody years ago, right? They were lazy. And they spent so much of their day putting energy into getting away with not doing any work. I always felt you could spend half of that energy just doing your job and you'd be better off. And I think with United, they spend all this time spinning plates, putting bullshit out there just to survive, when actually, if they actually had a plan, they'd get a lot more respect. Patrick Lynch says, the constant disparaging of Amorim by the hierarchy is similar to what they did after firing Ashworth. It's being used as a distraction. They tried to hide their bad decisions by making out moving them on was necessary. Well, look, Patrick, we were always going to be in this situation because they've it's arguably one of the worst January transfers windows we've ever had. So we all knew we were going to get the spin after the window closed, didn't we? And that's exactly what we've got. We're only 3 days after the transfer window closing. They've got to cover the week off, haven't they? And that's exactly what they're doing. And look, journalists are client journalists. The best journalists in the world are clients. Like,
the number one resolution for people last year was to save more money. But nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With the best will in the world, if you're David Ornstein, Ben Jacobs, Fabrizio Romano, whoever, you can't be an island. You can't really get the stories off your own back. You've got to build relationships. And sometimes it is, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. We'll give you this if you say that, you know? I just think that Maynard story is a load of bollocks. It's got more holes in it than a hedgehog's pillow. Please could you give my boyfriend Joe a shout out for his birthday? He's 26 and watches the show all the time. Emily, thank you very much. Big shout out to Joe. You're an absolute legend. I hope you have a great day. You've got a great girlfriend there looking after you as well. So happy birthday to Joe. I'm sure everyone in the chat will say it as well. Big Tong 121, welcome to the members club. Thank you very much for getting your badge in. Ryle says, hi Mark, why do you defend Amrin? No. We're not doing this, Ryle, right? I know there are people out there that hate Amrin, and that's absolutely fine, but I will not in any way, shape or form be a hypocrite on the things I said before he was shockingly sacked. I would have given him signings in January, and I would have given him till the end of the season. And I always said that. So it's not about defending Amrin. It's about defending the view I had before he was sacked. So I'm not defending anybody and being consistent with my opinion. There was people when I was saying that who were saying sack him. I respect that. So respect my opinion that hasn't changed throughout the whole season. I was very frustrated with Bruno playing in the midfield. I was very frustrated that we couldn't defend the lead, but we did need to buy players in January. And ultimately that's why he got sacked. And we didn't buy anybody in January anyway. So and ultimately as well, Ryle, it's like blaming the cook instead of the people who employ him. Like, why are you a Glazerite? Why are you so obsessed with Amrin? Do you think Ruben Amrin ran the club? Do you think Ruben Amrin decided not to buy players? Do you think Ruben Amrin decided not to buy a midfielder? Do you think Ruben Amrin, you know, put the club into debt? Do you think Ruben Amrin appointed himself from Sporting? It's like, whatever you think, everything goes back to the same people. Glynios trying everything before Amrim's interview, says Frank. And Gringer says, if the wins continue, is it still a new manager bounce or strong evidence Amrin was misusing half a decent squad? Funny what putting players in their correct positions and an orthodox formation does, says Gringer. I mean, I think this is a great point, but I'll give you the counterpoint to it. So you're basically saying that if Carrick gets Champions League football, does that mean sacking Amrin was correct and that the 4-3-3 is the best formation for United? Well, I don't know whether you watched the Fulham game, but we nearly drew. We did. And I don't know whether you watched every game that we played under Amrin, but we were in the top three for chances created with him. We were. So what that tells me is that we weren't far off. We should have beat Bournemouth. We should have beat West Ham. We should have beat Spurs. We should have beat Forest. We should have beat Fulham. There's loads of games that we weren't far off. And when you're building a project, you would expect those results to turn into more wins. But we abandoned the project a year in. So I don't see Carrick's football as a project. I see it as a stopgap. I see it as what Ollie did. 4-3-3 is exactly what these players want to do. But it won't work next season. It won't. We won't. It's not going to work. This is Roberto Di Matteo at Chelsea. This is, for 3 or 4 months, let's do what everybody likes and let's get results. And then in the summer, whoever the manager is, we will have to rebuild. And then next season, they won't do it because it won't be shiny and new. And it won't be about what they want. It will be about what the coach wants. And then we'll have to start the project again. And the problem is, Gringer, is this is not a project. This is a short-term fix. The minute we start a project, will these players react to a project or will they not react to a project? Because when you're building a project and a vision, can't be a 4-3-3 playing the way we are, because actually we all know it's not sustainable. We all know it will get found out and we all know these players won't be able to do it week in, week out. So I think it's a good question, but I think it's a difficult question. And I'm not, in no way, shape or form should anybody be critical of Michael Carrick. He's doing exactly what I would do. I would go in there and just play the way the players want and minimise training and focus on energy. But you're getting confused between building a project and a stopgap. This is a stopgap. If Carrick gets the job, he won't carry on like this. He'll do whatever his long vision is. And we don't know what his vision is. Maybe Michael Carrick can't stand playing Maguire and Martinez at centre-back, but they're the best two centre-backs he's got to get results. Maybe Michael Carrick doesn't like playing Amad on the right wing. I don't know. I'm not saying. What I'm saying is he will have ideas that he will bring in when he gets given the job. This is not his plan. This team is not his plan. He's not going to use this team next season, is he? He is not stupid. He's going to want to change three or four. Well, he's got to change Casemiro as well. Morning, Mark. Have a nice day, says Christopher. Thank you very much. This brings me on to actually something I wanted to bring in here. Man, you know, I don't know what your thoughts are about this. It caused some debate last night. In fact, somebody mentioned it on the 7 o'clock show last night, and I didn't know the context of it. So Man United posted this last night. Longest serving current United players, right? Look, thing about United is they'll always do the same old things. They will subvert the negative into a positive to try and influence you. And so they put this out yesterday, celebrating the longest serving current United players, right? When I saw it, I wanted to go out and have a walk. I was like, I actually can't believe that we would celebrate this. But here we go. Luke Shaw's number one, 11 years and 7 months. I mean, I'm just going to have to just go over here a minute. 11 years. 11 fucking years. 11 years. All right, I'm all right now. 11 years and a half, actually. 11 years and 7 months, Luke Shaw. Deleau, 7 years and a half. 7 years and 7 months. Maguire, 6 years and 5 months. And then Bruno Fernandes, 6 years at four. I mean, I've got a problem with Bruno. I thought, look, I like Deleau. I like Maguire. And I used to like Luke Shaw as a decent left back. But when I look at that, right, when I look at our longest serving current United players, with all due respect to Shaw and Deleau, 11 years and a half, 7 years and a half. If I said to you now, or at any point over the last few years, do you think Luke Shaw and Deleau are fundamental parts of a title-winning team? The answer would probably be no. Maybe Luke Shaw at one point for a year, but firmly probably no for most of that 11 years and Deleau's 7 years. And I look at longest-serving players at Liverpool and Arsenal and Manchester City. And look, it might be a freak of nature where it's somebody like, I don't know, Curtis Jones or something stupid like that because he's a youth player. But those players are first-team players for Man United. And I'm not saying they're bad players. I'm just saying it's indicative of the issues of Man United that when you look at Luke Shaw, Deleau, Harry Maguire as our three longest-serving players, they're all consistently first-team players as well. And none of them are going to win as a Premier League. And none of them ever would win as a Premier League. So Manchester United are meant to be a side that wins Premier Leagues. And our three longest serving players would never win you a Premier League. They should be, Deleau, Shaw and Maguire would be Spurs players for me. That's where they should be. Like they'd be, if I was looking at Spurs and Luke Shaw had been there 11 years and Deleau had been there 7 years, even Spurs fans might not be happy by that, but it's a fair point. I saw a lot of people reacting to it. Deleau's playing well for us at the moment. Luke Shaw has had a year or two. Harry Maguire's a great servant to the club, but your three longest serving players probably do say a lot about what your club is. And if that's your three longest serving players, you can sort of see why we don't qualify for the Champions League very often and we don't get into title races, because 11 years and 7 months from Luke Shaw is unbelievable. 7 years and 7 months from Deleau is incredible. If they were at Man City, they'd have been got rid of ages ago. If they were at Liverpool, they'd have been got rid of ages ago. So what I'm saying is, and I think, look, again, it's not being critical of them. It's just reflective of what we are. You can't moan about what we are and then you've got information like that. I think when you look at that, what do you think? When you look at Man United's longest serving players and you've got Luke Shaw for 11 years and 7 months and you've got Deleau there for 7 years and 7 months, that's a long time. It's a very long time. And they've never not been first team players, have they? They've always, in that time, they've always been knocking on the first team door. So it sends a message, doesn't it? It sends a message that if you've had that quality of player near your first team for that many years, it probably explains why you don't get where you need to be. It probably explains why you're always, you know, it's always a flip of a coin as to whether you're going to be in the top five or not. The quality is not at the level it should be. But the bigger question is, it's not their fault again, is why they're still here. If those players are question mark players, which they are, why have they been here so long? And again, It evidences the complete and utter incompetence of the way the club has been run that we retain players of that level for so long. And let's not forget, if you'd done this 6 months ago, Lindelof would be in there in the top three, because Lindelof had been there longer than Maguire, which again evidences exactly the issue of we retain players that aren't good enough for too long. Deleau would probably be a very good right back for somebody like Burnley or Crystal Palace or Everton. But at Man United, it's been proven that he isn't the level that... You know, Man United need a right back that's one of the best right backs in England. Don't need to be English, but one of the best right backs in the Premier League. We don't have that. We haven't had one of the best right backs. When was the last... Great point. When was the last time Manchester United had one of the best right backs in the Premier League? Gary Neville? You could go through the whole... I think this is a great point. When was the last time we had one of the best goalkeepers in the league? De Gea. What, 2 years ago? 3 years ago? When was the last time we had one of the best right backs in the league? I'd say Gary Neville. Valencia did all right, to be fair. But that's a long time ago. When was the last time we had one of the best left backs in the league? I mean, I do think Luke Shaw had a year. But out of 11 years, that's a shit hit rate, isn't it? I mean, Timo Werner's better than that. 1 year out of 11... That's not really good enough, is it? Centre-backs, when was the last time we had two of the best centre-backs in the league? I mean, I want to say we've done better than Rio and Vidic, but... I mean, I think Maguire's done well at times. I don't think he's ever been one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League, though. Yeah, I'm struggling. When was the last time we had one of the best holding midfielders in the league? Casemiro had one good year. I will give him that. And his first year was good. So, you know, fair play. 1 year of Casemiro out of the last 13 years, really. Bruno's done very well. When was the last time we had one of the best strikers in the league? Probably Ronaldo for that season. But you know what? For a club like Manchester United, that's a really good exercise in the issue. When you go through your 11... you should be able to say, well, we had the best left back in the league 2 years ago. We had the best right back in the league 4 years ago. We had the best goalkeeper 3 years. We've got the best centre back now. We're not in these conversations. So I think when United post out, look at our longest serving players, it just serves the point that we've just said there. We keep players that aren't good enough for too long. And when you look at our squad, it's not good enough either. Manchester United should always have four or five of the best players in the league. We should. I know that sounds ridiculous now, but we should always have four or five of the best players in the league. We've only got one. Bruno Fernandes, that's it. And that's a debate, but I think it's true. Patrice Evra was one of the best left-backs in the league when we had him. We all watched Amrim's Man United team for months as rain, lacking risk. Yeah, I'm not here to talk about Amrim, mate. Thank you very much for your super chat, but we're not here to go back on that. We're talking about Man United still blaming Amrim for a lot of the things they did. We're not talking about whether you think Amrim should have got sacked. I don't think that serves a purpose. I think we should have kept him till the summer and backed him in January. We didn't. We've had that conversation a month ago. That if you think that we're having that conversation, you're not listening. And some people don't listen. And I'm sure we'll get comments about people not listening. But the point is, why are Man United putting out stories about Mainoo wouldn't be here if they kept Amrim? It's bullshit. They weren't going to buy a midfielder in January, so why they would never have let him go in the first place. It's all about distraction. It's all about blame shifting. If you didn't want Amrim, fine. We're not talking about that. We're not going to have an argument about you thinking Amrim was shit. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is our ownership, lack of direction, how they stumble on things and don't have a plan and spend so much time distracting everybody because they're shit at their job. That's what we were talking about. Casemiro's also been the best DM in the Premier League this season, says Class of 99. Mate, you're having a laugh. Mate, is this the same Casemiro that in December people were saying he's shit? Is this the same Casemiro that's that's better than Caicedo and Declan Rice? Bollocks. Come on, mate. Let's get real. Another Glazerite in the chat. Mark, Mainoo wasn't playing. We even had a poll. Amrim out or sell Mainoo. Ownership is horrible, but let's not change history. Amrim wanted him out, says Aman. We're not, again, like, look, I apologise to people in the chat. I have to put up with this all the time. People who don't listen. and just wander off on their track. I don't know whether it's low IQ, I don't know whether it's Player FC, but it was detailed to you quite simplistically. Man United sacked Amrim in January. Amrim's not here anymore. Romano is saying that there's a high chance that Maynou wouldn't be here now if Amrim had stayed here. I'm saying that's bullshit.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Because Maynou played half an hour in the last game for Amrim and then got injured. He would have been starting because Bruno got injured, but he was injured. And then Amrim got sacked. And in January and February, the club have put it out there that they had no intention of signing a midfielder in January. So they have the final say. And even if Maynou's banging on the door and Amrim's banging on the door saying, get him out, Man United wouldn't have done it because they didn't have a plan to bring a midfielder in and you wouldn't be allowed to go down to three midfielders. And actually, Amrim wouldn't have let him go because he wouldn't want to go down to three midfielders either. But you're not listening. You're trying to hypothetically do what the Glazers are doing. You're trying to write a hypothetical headline which only serves one purpose. Distract the blame from the club and pin it all onto a manager that was appointed by that club. For me, Shaw was the best left back in the Europe 2 to 3 years ago, says Robert. I agree with you. I agree. I do agree with you on that one. But 1 year out of 11... I think the fact that Luke Shaw has been here for 11 years and 8 months is disgusting. I do. I'm allowed that opinion. I think the fact that Luke Shaw has been here 11 years and 7 months is an absolute disgrace. And I don't blame Luke Shaw for it. I blame Man United for it. Like, when I think of players that spend 10 years at a club, you've got to be a club legend. Otherwise, somebody's fucked up. You don't keep players that aren't club legends for more than 10 years. You only do that if you're being run badly and they're allowed to just survive. And it's not. Can I just say, Anthony, at no point have I said Amrim was good. So this is what I mean. I think sometimes we do get infiltrated by idiots who don't listen to what we're talking about. At no point have I said we should have kept Amrim. At no point have I said he was the guy. I'm just saying that here we are again. And you're the morons that fall for it. You are falling for it. You're talking this morning about how shit Amrim is. That's exactly why that story's there. I can lead you to water, but if you don't want to drink, that's absolutely fine. The reason you're talking about how shit Amrim is exactly what the club want you to do. They've just orchestrated the shittest transfer window ever that closed 3 days ago. And here you are talking about a sacked manager and how shit he is. That was the point of the story. Has the mic dropped yet? That's literally what we're talking about. Why are we talking about how shit Amrim is today? Because that's the story. That's what they want to do. Oh, if Amrim had been here, Maynou would have been sold. We shouldn't be talking about Ruben Amrim. We should be talking about the club's direction, why they didn't buy players in January, what's the plan for the future. And the reason you're talking about how shit Amrim is because you've fallen for their shit again. That's exactly what the story's about. Why is the story out there? for you to start doing that. And you've walked straight into it. Straight into it. Is there any point this morning in talking about how shit Amrin was? No. It's got nothing to do with anything, has it? But it has, because that's the story that's been put out there, which is completely and utterly hypothetical bollocks. Maynou wouldn't be here if Amrin was. What a crock of shit. Nobody can prove that. Nobody can prove that. And it wouldn't have happened. Hi, Mark. Ineos league record says it all. Man United 8th, 15th. Nice 5th, 9th, 5th, 9th, 5th, 4th. Lausanne relegated twice, promoted twice, mid-table at best. Best in class, you're having a laugh, results don't lie. Steve, that is absolutely... I mean, I don't know whether this is true. But if that's Ineos's record of owning three clubs, 8th, 15th, 5th, 9th, 5th, 9th, 5th, 4th, and relegated twice. I mean, they don't know what they're doing then, do they? I still think about the conversation between Garnacho and Amrin. Good luck finding somewhere. How did it get to that point? Well, we're not defending Garnacho now, are we, Keel? I mean, he's going to end up at Strasbourg, isn't he? Why is Ranić a hero for calling out the ownership, but Amrin is being demonised when he got the chop for doing the same as One Inch Wonder? Because unfortunately, when you've got a very, very big pool of people, some of those people will be easily led. And we have a lot of people who are easily led by this ownership, and they spend a lot of money analysing how to manipulate you, and it works. They just want to bury Amrin so we don't bury them. It needs calling out, says Mike. Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm doing. But you call it out and people defend the Glazers. Robert McCormack says Amrin wanted to be sacked. I think he did. I do, Robert. I think he did want to be sacked. But I don't want to go back down that, because the people who matter are the ownership. The people that matters are now. That's the whole point. Why are we back talking about that? Because that's in their interest to do that, to deflect on the fact that 3 days ago, the transfer window closed and they did absolutely nothing. Let's talk about Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick's got a very difficult job. He's trying to get a Man United side into the Champions League that isn't really expected to be in the Champions League at the start of the season. One or two injuries to the midfield and he is screwed. That's the real story. The story really is what happens if Casemiro or Maynou get injured? Carrick's down the creek without a paddle. But we're not talking about that, are we? We're not talking about the relevant topical thing. Look at Spurs on Saturday. They are decimated. We should win this game. They are decimated by injury. They've got Van de Ven, Romero, Solanke, all doubts, on top of about eight players that are out as well. They're absolutely down to the bare bones, Spurs. And that could benefit us on Saturday. But what if that happens to us in a month? And we've not strengthened a team that needed strengthening. That's the story. The story is why the club have kept their hands in their pockets at a time when Michael Carrick could have done with a couple of loan players. That's the story. Red Devil Girl says people need to stop referencing the Europa League final. If not for Mickey van der Ven's goal line clearance, it'd be a different conversation. And we let attackers go in January and didn't replace them, says Red Devil Girl. I mean, to be fair, Red Devil Girl, you won't get any sympathy from me on the Europa League final. I thought it was a shit show from Amrin. I thought it was a shit show from the players. I thought it was an absolute embarrassment, to be honest. Toad Emperor says they are not clueless, just couldn't be bothered. Thank you very much, pal. And Daniel Thompson says, hope everyone's well. Whether people were Amrin in or out, shake it all about. The fact remains the ownership, again, not taking blame for their errors, deflecting blame, spinning a narrative and thus surviving like Gloria Gaynor. Well, look, I suppose what you're saying, Daniel, and you're absolutely correct, is that at any point, has Sir Jim Ratcliffe come out and apologised? Has Jason Wilcox come out and apologised? Has Omar Berada come out and apologised? Or have they just stood there oblivious to the fact that it's their fault? If I was Sir Jim Ratcliffe, I would have done an interview at the end of January to communicate with the people that matter. I mean, he sat there in October when we'd won a couple of games and communicated how Amrin was going to be for 3 years and was very stubborn about it. In January, he sacked him. I would have done an interview. I would have said, look, at the end of the day, we've made mistakes. We didn't intend to make those mistakes. We'll learn from those mistakes. We apologise to the fans. They're very loyal to us. They understand there's a lot of work to be done and we've made some mistakes. But we felt that it was right to do this now rather than continue down the path of making that mistake. And obviously we take full responsibility for making that mistake in the first place, but we feel that we can amend that mistake by doing this, but it's not ideal. That, I don't know why. All my life, when I make a mistake, I'll front up. In an entertainment sport, it actually makes sense. You'd be more endearing to the fans. It's a dictatorship, though, isn't it? It's arse covering. Why you couldn't do that, I don't know. Instead, they spend all their time trying to deflect and make out they were doing the right thing. But look, even if Amrin was the worst thing that ever happened to Man United, they still should come out and apologise for appointing him in the first place because they did it. But they don't. They try and make it all about him and take no responsibility themselves. Seb Goldbridge says, I agree, Dad. Romano's fell off lately. By the way, can you bring me some McDonald's for lunch to school? Rajaf says, when will Mazraoui replace Dalot at left back? He's clear of Dalot. His origin pass for the winner last week was underrated. Amazing aura. No way Dalot does that. Look, mate, some people think it's an easy pass because Bruno does the feint, doesn't he? But Mazraoui did get involved in that goal. And I just think Mazraoui should be starting over Dalot. He's a better player. He's a better player. I think as a manager, I never understand coaches that stick with the player that's not good enough. Put your best players on the pitch. Mazraoui should be starting ahead of Dalot. But there's something about Dalot that every manager picks him. Like Ten Hag chose Dalot over Wan-Bissaka, which I agreed with, to be fair. Amrim obviously loved him, and it looks like Carrick's going to stick with him as well. But Mazraoui's better than Dalot. You're right. That doesn't mean Dalot's not played well, but Mazraoui is better than Dalot, 100%. The January window exposes their lies. They didn't buy anyone in January. Ineos is like when you're lost, you're driving, you take a turn and somehow landed on the right road. None of this is planned, says Ray Carl. Yeah, it's stumbling management, isn't it? One Inch Wonder says, my mum's name is Claire. Oh my God, I'm in trouble. And she has a fridge magnet of Wilcox because she says he's handsome. Do you think those two things are connected? Oh no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Thank you very much for that. United and Amrim stating the player is the future of the club and will not be allowed to depart in January. Reports from December. Wilcox interview soon, says Stretford Signal. And Imran says, I just had laser eye surgery. I feel like this summer is make or break. If we don't get the centre midfielders and other players, we'll be left behind for good, says Imran. Thank you very much. Michael Carrick's been nominated for Manager of the Month. Beth's just messaged me there. Well, he should be. Would he not win it? Trouble about Manager of the Month is you don't want the Manager of the Month curse, do you? I mean, didn't Amrin win Manager of the Month as well this year? So be wary of Manager of the Month. But he should win that, shouldn't he? Because I suppose it's only 3 games out of 5. I don't know who else had a good month. Let's have a look. I'll be able to tell you if he's going to win it. Because it's got a form guide, hasn't it? So we've won 3 out of our last 5. One of them's... Well, he only won 2 in January. I don't know how he can win it, because wasn't Fulham February? He only won 2 games. Fulham was February, wasn't it? So I think it's because we were unbeaten in January, wasn't it? So Carrick gets it by default. We beat Arsenal, we beat Man City, we drew with Burnley and we drew with Leeds. So there was 4 Premier League games and we were unbeaten with 2 wins and 2 draws, basically. So I don't know that anybody's got a better record than that. Nobody's got a better way. He will win it because nobody has a better record than 2 wins and 2 draws in January. Newcastle got 2 wins, a draw, and a loss. Literally, we had a better January than anybody. Because we were unbeaten. So he will win it. Because nobody's won. Nobody was unbeaten in January apart from us. So he will win it. He will win it. Beware the manager curse. Beware the manager curse. What was Rosinha's record? Yeah, they lost one and they won two, lost one, drawn one. So it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because Newcastle also won two, drawn one, lost one. I mean, technically, Eddie Howe and Rosinha should get it because they manage more games, but I think Carrick gets it with a little bit of help from Fletcher and Amrim's results as well. Idios and Glazers are like a broken record because the same spin news that keeps popping from the club and they try and get the fans' hope up, so it doesn't work. Thank you very much, pal, for that. Don't forget, we've got the press conference for you today, reaction, and we've also got... what else have we got? We've got the preview live at 8 o'clock tonight, which I'm really looking forward to. I love doing the live preview, so you can join me for that. Wilcox interview soon. We've won three games to Stretford Signal. And you know what? Funnily enough, I don't think they will do it. I don't think Sir Jim Ratcliffe or Wilcox will do an interview at the moment because they as much as we've won games, the natural question would be, but didn't you make a mistake with the previous manager, which they won't want to ask. Shaw has a similar number of appearances than Bruno, who's been here half as long. Shows how our squad management has been awful over the years, says Patrick. And yeah, look, Luke Shaw's been here for nearly 12 years. Bruno's been here for six. And I think Bruno's played the same amount of games, which again shows you the ridiculous... I mean, think of the wages. Like, think how much we've paid Luke Shaw in 12 years and how much we've paid Bruno in 6 years and they've played the same amount of games. Going off the news yesterday that we're skint, if we then don't make Champions League, do you think that that would then make them having to sell the club, says Thomas? They're not selling the club. They've got a bloody... They've got an actual focus group now working full-time on the stadium regeneration. Is it Colette Roach from the club is now working on that exclusively? They're not going anywhere. I've read your super chat, Rajaf. It was about Mazraoui, wasn't it? Mike says, I'm not having this laid at Amrim's feet. Who hired him and then decided not to back him? Incompetency is exclusively a Glenios trait. Thank you very much for that. Appreciate you. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for watching. I'm going to go and get a cup of coffee. Fantastic show this morning. Good conversation. You know I'm not afraid of it, and I don't think you should be either. The only thing I would say, slightly frustrating, is that some of you have fallen for some of you walked into the trap. Hopefully, not many of you will do in the comments, but some of you walked into the trap. You're there talking about that. There we go. The whole point of that story from Romano is to make you slag off Amrim and be positive about the ownership. 3 days after the window closed and they didn't do anything. Sounds a little bit deliberate to me. Thanks for watching. Take care. We've got the press conference. I think the press conference might be a little bit later, so just watch out. It might not be at 2 o'clock. I think it might be at 3 o'clock. So just keep an eye out for that one. But 8 o'clock, definitely live as well. Thanks so much for watching. Have a great day. Stay safe. If you're in the UK, the weather's absolutely crap again. It's been raining for about a month. I just saw Noah with some animals heading towards a big boat, actually. So be careful. Speak to you in a bit. Sorry, let me just while I'm live, just blocking somebody. There we go. Thank you very much.